As our society drifts farther and farther away from God, it is not surprising that many Americans have become very skeptical about the subject of love. It is not surprising that many Americans today are almost coming to the place where they're saying, I'm not sure it's possible to really have a loving relationship in this world. And the fact of the matter is that many surveys are telling us today that with respect to marriage, that many couples are remaining married more out of convenience than out of love. They're staying together not because of love as a bond, but convenience as a bond for staying together in marriage. In fact, we see so many signs in our society of a society that really understands not what love is all about. My wife and I this past week traveled over to the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, where I was preaching a revival meeting for 3 days and three nights. And as we were traveling to the church, we drove by something that we had to take a double look to really believe if it was true. It was a drive-through wedding chapel. Now, I knew they had wedding chapels over there, but I'd never heard of a drive-through where you literally drove through, put the paperwork in the tube, shoved it in the tube, the guy signed it on the other side, you said the vows literally over the microphone, and then they slid the thing back. And I suppose if things don't work out after a week or two, you can drive back to the drive-through chapel for a refund, but I'm not sure. But that's about how cheap it's gotten in this day in which we live. One rock song said years ago, what's love got to do with it anyways, you see? And that's the way this society approaches relationship. Marriages today are not always the loving institutions that God designed them to be. We see this evidenced in family life as well. Some are very skeptical of family love and would suggest that real love and support is not to be found so much in the family. It's out there in a village somewhere or in the community somewhere. And so we have the books like It Takes a Village. And I suppose if your family life is like the author's, maybe it does take a village to find love. I'm not sure. But God says no. God says you can have love in your family. You can have love in your heart. You can have love in your life if you know me, because I am love. I heard about an uncle who was talking to a young groom. He went to the boy. He said, congratulations, my boy. He said, I'm sure you'll look back and remember this day as the happiest day of your life. To which the groom said, but uncle, I'm not getting married until tomorrow. To which the uncle said, I know. And that seems to be the way we kind of approach things in this day in which we live. Perhaps the reason we are so unsure about love, perhaps the reason we express and receive so little genuine love today is because we do not know God like we should. We do not know, we do not experience the love of God like we should. You see, one of the first characteristics we must understand as we endeavor to understand God this summer is we need to understand that He is a God of love. In fact, there are three comprehensive statements in 1 John about God, three statements that really describe His nature. The first statement is found in the first chapter, which says He is light. And then we come to a statement that says God is spirit. And then we come to this statement which says, God is love. God does not attain love. He does not have to try to maintain love. Love is the structure of His being. He is love. And yet His love does not contradict His holiness or truth. In fact, His love is subordinate to His nature of truth. And we see that there is no contradiction in the various characteristics and attributes of our God. I want you to notice with me this morning some very great truths related to the love of God. First of all, in our outline this morning, we see in the Scriptures that God's love is revealed. He reveals His love to us. The Bible says here in verse number 8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, He reveals His love in His Word today. Someone says, well, I don't see the love of God. I don't feel the love of God. Have you read your Bible this week? So I've been busy doing a lot of other things. Well, I want to tell you something. If you'll study the Scriptures, you'll find that in the Scriptures, over and over again, God says in so many words, I love you. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us. Over and over again, we see the love of God in this book. And we hear God telling us that He loves us. And my friend, I want you to hear this morning this message. God loves you. And this Bible is the revelation of the love of God. It is His love letter to a lost and dying world. I remember when I was in Bible college, and we came to the summer before my wife and I would get married. We had a Christmas wedding, and so we decided, you go up to San Jose, where your folks were from, and you work there, and I'll stay down here, and I'll work, and we'll try to save money and get ready for getting married and so forth. And all that seemed like the longest summer of my entire life. You know, we were separated by all those miles. And I remember coming onto the campus of the Bible college. We had a kind of a hallway with mailboxes all the way down the hallway. Every day after work, I'd come to that postal area, and I'd walk, and as I'd walk down the hallway, I'd start sniffing. Say, what were you smelling for? Perfume. My wife always put a little perfume on those love letters, and I'd be sniffing for that perfume. And then I'd be looking for the number, and I'd get that letter open, and I'd open that letter. And oh, I tell you, I was so insecure about that relationship at that time. I wanted to make sure everything was going along just right. Everything was just fine, you know. And I know some of you fellas are, I never was insecure about my relationship. She's lucky to have me. Well, you know. You can wake up as soon as the sermon's over, but I'll go ahead and keep preaching. But boy, I wanted to read those letters, and I couldn't wait till that part. Normally, towards the end, she'd say, I love you. Or she'd say some other compliment and just let me know she's looking forward to seeing me and how much she cared for me. And you know, the fact of the matter is that those love letters were such an encouragement to me. But I find today in my Christian life, the Bible is such an encouragement to me. Because I find in this book, God telling me over and over again, I love you. I'm glad that God reveals His love to you and to me. He reveals it in His Word. And my friend, He revealed it through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, one person has defined the word love as meeting the needs of another that that person cannot meet for themselves. And when we have the ability to meet someone's need in an expression of love, it is like the love of God when He saw us who could not save ourselves, who were desperately lost and in our sin, and He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is revealed in His Word, and it is revealed through His Son. But notice secondly this morning, God's love is not only a revealed love, God's love is a redemptive love. It is an active love. It is a redemptive love. Notice the Bible says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is redemptive, and His love, first of all, redeems us from sin. His love redeems us from sin. Sometimes we think about the little Coke bottles that say redemption value, 5 cents. And you take them in and you get your 5 cents. You redeem that bottle. And God has placed upon us a love. He has placed upon us a value through His Son. He redeems us through His Son. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God said, even though I saw your sin before they were ever committed, He said, even though you were in a sinful state, yet I love you and I gave my Son to die for your sin. In fact, notice what verse 10 says. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that God is the prime mover in salvation? It is not man seeking God today. It's not that everyone in this planet loves and worships God and wants to know His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, it's just the opposite. God says, it's not that you were looking for me. It's that I was looking for you. And thank God that whether it's through a friend or whether someone invited you to church today, whatever the means that was used, your life has been touched today by the love of God who wants you to know what His Son did for you. And we see His love redeems us from sin. You see, Adam was not seeking God in the garden after he had sinned. In fact, Adam was hiding from God. And Noah's generation was not seeking God. Every thought in their mind was only evil continuously. They were not seeking God. And my friends, today in America, by and large, people are not seeking God today. But you know what? He's still seeking us, isn't he? He's still sending the good news out. He's still giving people the chance to repent and come and be saved. Jesus Christ is long-suffering today, and He is redeeming men and women even at this moment from their sin. It is not that we love Him so much as a human race, but He loves us. He is the prime mover in salvation. And this verse tells us in verse number 10 that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means the payment or the redemption of our sins. And when we see the word propitiation, we are reminded of the mercy seat in the Old Testament. For there, atop of the Ark of the Covenant, was that mercy seat overlaid with gold. And there on the Day of Atonement, the high priest Aaron would sprinkle the blood. And the sprinkling of that blood was the sprinkling that would cause the forgiveness or the atonement for the sin of all of the children of Israel. And one day, my friend, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ became our mercy seat. And there on the cross, when He was suspended between this earth and heaven, as His blood was shed, Jesus Christ became our mercy seat so that we could have the covering of our sins, so that we could have the opportunity to enter into a loving relationship with God. You see, God, who is love, is first of all light. Therefore, any thought of Him being soft or indulgent towards sin must be put away. And so in order for God's love and for God's righteousness to go along hand in hand, in order that there would be no contradiction, there had to be a payment for sin, because God does love us, but He is a righteous God. And somehow for us to have a relationship with God, there had to be a covering for sin. And so Jesus Christ said, "I'll be the covering." Jesus Christ voluntarily left heaven's glory, and He voluntarily walked up Golgotha's hill. And though He could have called 10,000 angels and said, "Take me away from this scene, I'm not going to stay and suffer this humiliation and pain," yet He died alone, voluntarily, in a substitutionary death for you and for me on that day. That's what propitiation is all about. He paid for our sin on that day. We used to sing a song when I was a little boy growing up, "What can wash away my sin?" And the chorus said, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ." And so here we see that His love is subordinate to His righteousness. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Hold your place in 1 John. And let's just see a correlation here in Romans chapter 3 for a moment. And verse number 25. For here we see again God's redemption for sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now watch this, verse 25. "Whom God," remember, God is a God of love, but He's also a God of light. "So God hath set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." God set forth His Son to become the propitiation, to become the payment for our sin, so that God's righteous demand could be met while He simultaneously expressed His love for you and for me. What a tremendous blessing to realize that God would love us that much. And what a blessing to see that God redeems men and women from their sin. My friend, it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. And Jesus died for you. He redeems us from sin. And then we see, secondly, that He redeems us for a new purpose in life. Notice the Bible says in verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." He says, "I want you to live now and forever through me. I want my life to be the evidence of God in your life." And you and I have the opportunity to have a new purpose through Jesus Christ, living through Him. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 1 that we are called to be the sons of God. And as the sons of God, once we are saved or born again, we become the sons of God. Now we have the opportunity not to live our life, but to allow His life to be lived through us, Galatians 2:20. And here we know that Jesus Christ is allowing us to live His life through us. And that can happen if you're born again. That can happen if Jesus Christ has redeemed you. And you have the opportunity to allow His life to flow through your life. And so God's love is revealed. And it's revealed in His Word, and it's revealed through His Son. And then God's love is redemptive. Jesus Christ pays for our sins, and He gives us a new life that we might live for Him. But I want you to see, thirdly, this morning, God's love is reassuring. God's love is reassuring. Now, you know, it really doesn't matter how long you've been married. It doesn't matter how long you've known a loved one. Everybody likes to be reassured of love. In fact, every once in a while, I'll talk to a man about a marriage situation, and he'll say, "Good night, Pastor. I mean, I told her I loved her 17 years ago, and it hasn't changed since then. What's the problem? The day we got married, I told her I love her." And sometimes we don't realize that our wives would like to hear it more than maybe once a decade. Sometimes a guy might say, "Well, you know, I bought her a washing machine, I bought her an ironing board and an iron. I mean, what else does this lady want anyways?" Well, she'd like you to have brains to begin with. That would be a nice start. But you know, fellas, sometimes we're a little slow learning on that. But everybody likes to know, "Hey, you're appreciated. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being a blessing. Happy anniversary." Some of you guys are thinking, "When is my anniversary? When is it?" But aren't you glad that God reassures us of His love? God's love is reassuring. Now, I want you to see three things about the reassuring aspects of His love. First of all, His love is our foundation for life. Verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." The word "dwell" means to abide in spiritual oneness. And what a blessing it is to build our relationship on this foundation: God is in me. If God is in me as a Christian, and He is by His indwelling Spirit, and if God is in your spouse as a Christian, and He is as she receives Christ, then there's a foundation in that family. There is a foundation of love in that family, because God who is in us is love. And through God, we can love. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. There is never a time when a Christian should not be able to love another person so long as they are being controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. You may not agree with that Christian. You may not particularly care for everything that Christian does. But you can love them through the Holy Spirit of God. His love is our foundation. Ephesians 3 and verse 17 says, "With Christ in our hearts, we can be rooted and grounded in love." And so His love becomes a reassuring foundation in our lives and in our relationships. And then notice, secondly, His love removes fear. His love removes fear. The Bible says in verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." You see, in verses 17 and 18, we see that His love removes fear. Why? Because God is on our side. He is not looking for an opportunity to condemn. Rather, he is looking for an opportunity to forgive and to present us faultless before the Father in heaven. And perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out fear. He doesn't want us to live with the fear of judgment. He wants us to live with the joy of knowing that one day we will see Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God says it doesn't matter what you go through in this life, and it doesn't matter what you think will happen. It matters that you know me, because through this life and when you see me in heaven, based upon my love, there is no need to fear. I have forgiven your sins. I have a purpose for your life. And His love removes all fear. You know, G. Campbell Morgan was a great evangelist of yesteryear and a tremendous theologian. One day he was visiting some ladies in a convalescent hospital and just reading through Scripture to them. And as he was reading to the ladies, he came to a part of the Scriptures in Matthew 28 where it says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. And he said to the ladies, he said, isn't that a wonderful promise? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. To which one lady said, no, it is a wonderful reality. It is a wonderful reality. She wasn't looking at God's omnipresence. She wasn't looking at God's love as an attribute to be studied, as in the sense of being a great promise. She was looking at it as a reality in her life. God is with me. God loves me right now. And my friend, it doesn't matter what you're going through. God loves you, and He is with you right now, and He is for you right now, and His love can remove the fear in your life today. No matter what trials, no matter what experiences we may be going through, we thank God that He is a very present help in time of trouble. His love is our foundation for living, and His love removes the fear from living. And thirdly, His love causes us to bear fruit while we're living. I don't know about you. I don't want to just abide my time here on this world. I want to bear fruit here in this world. I want to live a bountiful Christian life. And because of His love being shed abroad in my heart, I can bear fruit, and so can you. Notice what it says in verse number 21 of this chapter. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love also his brother. Notice if you would in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We learn from this passage that the closer we get to God, the more love we can express to others. You say, but what about some people that really bug me? Excuse me. Sometimes some things you and I do might bug God, so to speak, but He still loves us. And you see, the Word of God in verse 11 says, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And the closer we get to God, the more we're able to express that love. And God's love for us is that love which He revealed on the cross. And the love that was revealed on the cross is the love that He wants perfected in the believer. The word perfected means matured. And the reason that we sometimes do not express the love that we should is because we are immature believers. But the more we mature and the more we become like Christ, then the more we can express love in everyday situations. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, we are taught of God to love one another. And I thank God as I think of these 13 years coming up on our 13th anniversary at Lancaster Baptist Church, and as I see the day-to-day ministry of this church, I thank God for the outpouring of love that is found at Lancaster Baptist Church, and the love and the prayers and the encouragement, and those that are in time of need, and for years, not once or twice, but on a daily basis, the love that comes forth. And my friend, this love is not the manifestation of fearful servants. It is the manifestation of the love of God. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us. And when the love of God is in the hearts of God's people, then we're not just going to be in love with God. We're going to be in love with one another. We're going to be reaching out to those who have needs. We're going to be sharing the gospel and running the buses and supporting the missionaries and encouraging the heavy-hearted. Why? Because true love, the true love of God, will bear fruit in the lives of the believer.
And so the closer we get to God, the more we realize perfect love casts out fear, the more we realize the love of Christ constrains me. And because His love is so compelling in my heart, I want to love others and share His love with others. A missionary friend was over in the Philippines. In fact, he's there now. He's been there for over 20 years. This missionary friend has a real ministry with people in the leper colonies. And he has found that over the years there have been missionaries who would go to one particular leper colony. And I'm sure that if we could see it, we would understand that it's very difficult to continuously minister in the leper colonies. Very contagious disease. And in this particular colony were some very severe cases. And this particular missionary friend was telling me that on one occasion he went into the leper colony, and as he walked in, he began to go from house to house. And as he went from house to house, he really just had an opportunity to spend a few minutes with each of those with leprosy. Many of these had been visited by missionaries in the past. And one man in particular, as he began to talk to the man just showed a very rude countenance. He was disinterested. This particular man had no hand on his left arm. His entire body seemed to be just overtaken with leprosy. He had one hand that was still partially working. And with that one hand, he reached to a bowl on his table and he looked at that missionary with a look of sarcasm and disgust. And inside of that bowl was some dried fruit. And he said to the missionary, "Have some fruit." Not expecting the missionary to even touch the bowl, much less the man. And the missionary said, "Brother Chapel, I don't know why." He said it was not a very wise thing. He said, "I'd been counseled by everybody not to touch anything touched by a leper, not to be in contact." But he said, "The Lord put on my heart to take some of that man's fruit." He said, "I took the bowl into my hands and I ate some of that fruit." And he said, "About an hour later, I was able to lead that man to a relationship with Jesus Christ." The leper said, "You know, I've been visited by missionaries and Christians before, but no one seemed to care for me like you did." You say, why would the man do that? The love of God in his heart. The love of God constrained him and compelled him to express love. And oh, in this cynical day, may God help us to have a heart of love and compassion. You see, His love is revealed. God loves you. His love is redemptive. Jesus died for you. And His love is reassuring. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will help you to bear fruit in your life if you will draw closer to Him. A farmer out in the Midwest printed on his weather vane one day the words, "God is love." God just impressed upon his heart, because of some problems they'd been having in farming and so forth, and the weather and so forth, to put right on his weather vane, "God is love." Someone came by and asked him. They said, "Do you mean to imply that the love of God is as fickle as the wind? Is that why you put those words on the weather vane?" To which the farmer answered, "No, I mean that whichever way the wind may blow, God is love. God is love if it blows from the north or the biting from the east. God is still love, whether it's the warm south winds or whether the fresh winds from the west. No matter what way the wind comes from, no matter how the wind blows, God is always love." And my friend, He is love today. He loves you and He loves me. And His love is revealed in His word. And His love is redemptive, because His Son died for our sin. And His love is reassuring, because every time we come to His word, He says, "My love will be a foundation for your life. My love will allow you to bear fruit through your life." And God wants us today to know that reassurance and to live His love in this upcoming day. Let us not merely study an attribute today. Let us not merely gain some theological understanding today. But let us say, "God, through your Spirit, help me to be the expression of your love in this upcoming week. May it be evident in my family. May it be evident as I go to work tomorrow. May people not only say, 'God is love,' but may they say, 'God is in that man.' And God's love is being seen through his life and through her life." May God's love be very, very evident through us in this week. Father, we thank you and praise you for your love. Thank you that you love us, that you express that love. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. No matter what's going on in someone's life today, you love us and you have a purpose for our lives. I pray that you would take this message today and just let it be used to be a help and a blessing. Let it be an encouragement to each heart.